Welcome to Literary Quest, a podcast hosted by us, Vicky and Marissa, where we discuss our favorite in fantasy fiction and hopefully can direct you in your quest to find your next great read. Welcome to this week's episode of Literary Quest. This is our holiday episode, so today we are discussing Holly Jolly Mess by C.M. Nascosta. So this week we had discussed drinking holiday beverages for our holiday episode. So today I come to you with an apple cider hot toddy. Vicky, what are you sipping on?
I have some eggnog with rum and some cinnamon sprinkled on top.
There you go. Very festive. Holly jolly as heck. I will introduce characters and location, and Vicky will introduce our plot. So this book features, this is actually a novella, and this book features Ava, who is human passing, though her father was a faun. She is a single mom and a widow who makes delicious cakes and has a young daughter and has got all of her business handled. She's trying to navigate dating again and has a weekend boyfriend named Kenta. Kenta is a big red ogre who works as an accountant. He has anxiety and is prone to doom spiraling, but is really sweet and is trying to figure out how to go from being a weekend boyfriend to full-time boyfriend. We have Charlie, who is also human passing, I think. She is part of a legacy family in Cambric Creek, and she has moved there to work as a personal assistant for her aunt, who lives in another country. Charlie is trying to figure out how to reassemble her life after her ex embezzled money from her and a lot of other folks, leaving her bankrupt and forcing her to shut down her dream job, her bakery. And then we have Triss, who is a satyr. He is really charming and works for the newspaper in Cambric Creek as a gossip columnist. We have a couple of other characters who make minor appearances in this story, but they don't have any really big major roles in this book. And then this book takes place in Cambric Creek, and that is an inclusive town for, quote, monsters and shifters and other creatures. We have covered books in this world before, so Morning Glory Milking Farm was one of them. It's just a cute little town. Vicky?
Yes. So this book follows two couples during the Christmas or Yuletide season. There are a couple chapters from some other characters, but the book mainly revolves around Ava and Kenta, as well as Charlie and Triss. So Ava and Kenta have been dating for some time. Despite this, they are both uncertain of the trajectory of their relationship. Both want to become more serious, but they also don't know how to approach the topic. Charlie meets Triss while grocery shopping. They instantly have chemistry. However, Charlie just came out of a toxic relationship and is very wary of males. Triss is not deterred by this and decides to woo her. So, spoilers ahead.
Spoilers ahead. The description for this book is kind of described as, so it's kind of as like Love Actually, right? Where it follows like different couples throughout this little town. And I feel like that's a really accurate description because it does kind of feel like we're peeking into people's lives and then backing out and going into another person's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't really read the back of anything, so I thought it was going to be like erotica.
Yeah.
Because this author has written a couple like holiday erotica books. And since this was short, it's like 115 pages. I was like, oh, that's what this is going to be. So yeah. It wasn't, which is fine. It was interesting to have I think there were maybe a total of six people's point of views in this book.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to have that, I guess. It was a little jarring at times because we would go from one couple to another and then to some random person and then back to the couple.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I agree. It did feel a little bit disjointed. And if you were not familiar with any of the books in this series in the past, if you hadn't read any of the other books in this world, I feel like it would be very confusing to start with this one for this author. I, even having read some of them, was struggling to remember who some of these characters were. Like the Hemmings, I think maybe one. So I think she wrote, this author wrote a book called Run Rabbit Run, and I think one of those characters, the male lead and the female lead in that series, I think that the male lead is one of the Hemmings, which is like a big family name in this book and in this town. And I did you read the one at like the breeding clinic?
Reading clinic.
Yeah, so she wrote a book about a wereshifter who, I think he's a Hemming, and it's got like praise kink for the man or the male
Oh,
character.
yes, I
You
read
know what
that.
I'm talking about? Is he one of these characters that
Is he Lucas? I feel like he may have been Lucas.
I think he may have been Lucas. Yeah. So I think that if you hadn't been introduced with any to any of these characters in the past, yeah, Moonblooded Breeding Clinic. That one features Lowell Hemming. So not that Hemming, different Hemming. But so yeah. Anyway, I think that this would probably be a pretty confusing introduction to this world if you weren't familiar with any of these characters, or not even the characters in this story, but even just like the structure of the world. Maybe not. I don't know. I found it kind of confusing at times, and I am somewhat familiar with some of these characters, so maybe it's just the way that it's written. I don't know. In the author's note at the beginning of the story, she does mention that Ava and Kenta's origin story will be available if you subscribe to her newsletter. And based on how this goes, I guess that Charlie and Triss's story will also play out in the future, either on her Patreon or her newsletters, or maybe in another book in this world.
I know I was curious about them too, how they started. At first I thought it was a continuation of one of the other books that I had just forgotten about.
Yeah.
And then I went back because I don't typically read the author's notes. So I didn't know that. But good to know. I'll check out subscribe and stuff to read it because I'm
Yeah.
curious because they were so cute.
They were. Ava and Kenta were super cute. And I do think, as an author, that's probably a really good way to market your own materials and get people invested in your stories, to give them little teasers like what we got here. Just because most of, I think all of this author's books are on Kindle Unlimited. And so, from what I understand, I don't get paid much from having books on Kindle Unlimited. Like, they get paid per page that's read. And then it doesn't sound like Kindle Unlimited pays real
Yeah,
well.
it's like
So.
pennies per page. And then on top of that, if you read a book in Kindle Unlimited, and then you take it out from Kindle Unlimited again and read it again, they don't get paid twice for it.
Oh, that sucks.
Right?
Yeah, that's lame.
Yeah. So that's the bummer for
That
them.
is a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, getting folks invested this way, either through your newsletter or this author, for example, has, and there are several authors that I follow on Instagram who have like tiered options on Patreon, which is probably a better overall source of income, or maybe a more reliable source of income than what happens on Kindle Unlimited. I don't know. I don't know what their finances are like, but I also know, because I saw this recently, that the struggle with putting things on like Amazon is that at any given time, they just like remove all of the content that an author might have on Amazon if it has been pirated. So like this happened to Ruby Dixon, I think last year, the author of like the Ice Planet Barbarian books. I went to buy or to borrow one of them on Kindle Unlimited, and all of her books were gone.
I remember that.
And that happened again to another author that I follow. So recently, that happened recently. So there are definitely some problems with Amazon.
Shocker.
I know. Jeff Bezos is a villain.
He really is. He's just, yeah, I know, I've heard that before too, and obviously saw it with Ruby Dixon about how if it seems that it shows up on another website, right? That's what happens, and it gets pirated, which is so unfair to the author, and it makes me so angry when that happens because it's not, somebody took their content and stole it, and they're being punished for it on top of losing any income that they may have gotten from that content, right? Originally from whoever pirated it. So Tristan Charlie, I think their story could have been cuter. I'm not gonna lie, I kind of skimmed some of it because, oh my God, Cookie Girl, no. Like I skimmed, so I skimmed a lot of his dialogue. Like,
Oh, well, that makes sense. Based on your comments and the notes, that makes a lot of sense.
oh really? I skimmed a lot of his dialogue because it would be like, oh, okay, it was just Cookie Girl. That's not, I normally love nicknames in books, right? I think they're cute. You know, like Fireheart, that's so sweet, right? Cookie Girl? No.
That's a bad nickname.
So I skimmed quite a bit of
All
that.
right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I didn't like Triss. You're right. Cookie Girl is a terrible name. Like, there's so many baking ingredients out there that he could have chosen to call her, like biscuit or sugar or I don't know, like my baking beauty. I don't, hot chocolate. I whatever. Like, he could have called her a lot of other things. Cookie Girl is not the best. But he also just kind of gave me the ick. Like, his whole interaction with her kind of squicked me out. So they have their first interaction in the grocery store. They're both reaching for the pie filling. He grabs it. She grabs his arm to get it. And so she wants it. And he's making some terrible pie something. And so she food shames him for making pie with store-bought food, pie filling or whatever, which, okay, we're all just doing the best that we can. But his whole thing was like, well, if you want this pie filling, then you have to make me cookies.
Audacity with that.
The audacity. And she's like, you can't just ask a stranger to make you cookies. And he's like, yeah, I can. And then he asks her to meet him at a restaurant to deliver them. Like, you could just give her the pie filling and agree to meet her in a place where she feels safe and comfortable giving you the cookies. And I guess we probably wouldn't have had a story if they had done that, but I feel like there was a less, I don't know. I just feel like there's so many sketchy dating stories out there now that when I read this one, I was instantly icked. And then she really obviously does not want to be on a date with him. So she gets to the restaurant 20 minutes early and stands outside, and he doesn't show up. And so she texts him, are you running late? And he says, I've been in, like, come inside. I've been inside. Come inside and bring them to me. She doesn't want to. That was the whole point of her getting there early. It was so she could intercept him and give him the cookies. But she goes in and she doesn't want to stay, but he's already ordered food. So she feels like she has to stay. And then the food is good. And then she starts drinking and then she kisses him. And then they end up having sex in an alley.
Yeah, so I definitely skimmed a lot of that. I remember their meeting. And then I, so their original meeting where they had that tug of war. And then when it got to the restaurant part, I don't know what they talked about at all. And then they started having sex in an alley, and I was like, I don't know how we got in this alley, but let's yeah, I definitely.
I just didn't love all of that. And then we find out he's a gossip columnist at the end of the story, and he knew she was a baker and that her partner Her ex had embezzled money from her the whole time and screwed her over. And he was like pushing her to like set up shop in the town. And I was just so, did you just do all this to write a story?
Mm-hmm. I remember reading that part. Yeah. And though he calls her innocent in it, right?
The yeah.
owner. So at least that's a little, because everyone thought that she was in on it.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah. I just did not really. I felt their whole interaction was kind of not great. We have a, and it, Charlie really obviously has like some internal conflict about being interacting with him, right? So to be fair, this whole time, like she's an adult person. She could have at any point said, no, I don't want to do that. Here are your cookies. I'm leaving. So we have someone who's probably not great at creating and keeping boundaries. And that's not Triss's fault. He is a little bit pushy, though. And I don't really appreciate that in this context. And to me, that was maybe like one of the things that I struggled with and really appreciating Charlie's character, too. Like she can at any point say, no, I don't want to do that. And even when they were having sex, she was like, do I really want to have sex? Like, she kisses him first, and then she says, I was definitely not the first person to kiss him, but I definitely, like, there's just this really, like, significant, it seems like, internal conflict that she's having about even interacting with him, which makes me feel like she needs to sort her shit out.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, she mentions that she hates him.
Yeah.
So I was like, what? Which you're explaining, he does seem really shitty. That happens when you don't read the book all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. She says she like hates him. I do have to say, so this is like a pet peeve of mine. So she's in the store, and I understand feeling overwhelmed because I've totally felt that way. Right. Mm-hmm. It's happened. I have to wear, earbuds sometimes to feel less overwhelmed. But she has a full cart, right? And she just gets frustrated and she's just going to leave it there. And I was the most inconsiderate thing you can do in a grocery store during the holidays.
Yeah.
It's just.
It's kind of a dick move.
It really is.
I was not as bothered by that. I frequently get overwhelmed in stores, and so I found this super relatable. Though usually if I'm in a store and I get overwhelmed, I put all the stuff back that I picked up before I abandoned the store. But I get like the soul-crushing exhaustion that comes with shopping, especially in this situation. She had worked. She went to Bridgeton to the human stores to get baking ingredients. It's a holiday. All the baking stuff is gone. So this was her second attempt to find the stuff. And all of the baking stuff is gone again. And then she had this thing with Triss. And he was like, well, you got to make me cookies if you want this pie filling. And I probably would have done the same thing. Like, forget it. I'm going home.
I totally understand that urge. I went food shopping recently. First up, and it was, the store was so busy, and I was just like, I just want to leave, just go and not be here anymore, just go to the parking lot and be done. But you know, I had to adult
yeah
my food. But I definitely sympathize with that feeling, but just leaving the cart there with all of the stuff in it,
it's not the best,
but
yeah. So, meh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just kind of struggled with Charlie. Not specifically to that. She wasn't, I don't know. I guess I really didn't struggle with Charlie as much as I struggled with Trish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Their story, I think I just liked Ava and Kenton's a lot more.
Yeah. Theirs was great.
Yeah.
I feel more bad for Charlie. I feel like she is someone who is grieving. She's lonely. And so So she has this run-in with Triss, and she doesn't really want to be with him, but like her vagina wants to be with him. And so like there's this, I don't know, in Holidays, I probably bring out the worst in some of us. You see all of these happy people around, and if you're not happy or if you're lonely and you see all of these other people who have somebody, it can feel really isolating. So there's their scene in the bar, and then later in the alleyway, like it was hot. They have sex in an alleyway, and it's really great. Like the actual sex scene itself is pretty good, even though even the whole thing, she's like, I don't even like you. Okay, sometimes the dick is just really good, so there's that. But I don't know, I feel bad for her. She lost her business and a lot of her assets because a man took advantage of her and a lot of other people. So I can get being kind of hostile to the first man you come in contact with.
Yeah.
After that.
Especially if he's so pushy.
Right. Yeah. I can see her, you know, struggling to find her way forward. And then the difficulty that you would have with just your confidence after something like that, and probably like your sense of judgment and other people, because the guy she was with, she thought he was really great, and he bankrupted her, and she got arrested briefly, even though she was innocent because of it. So I think the hostility is understandable.
Oh yeah, I agree.
But their sex scene was great. We had manual sex, then we had oral sex, and we have penis and vagina sex. And I just really, so one thing that I did really appreciate about Triss is that he gets very enthusiastic about a female orgasm. And I love it when characters get very enthusiastic about facilitating female orgasm. And I can't remember the rules about contraception and STIs in this world, and so they didn't use a condom, and I felt a little bit anxious about that, but then I also couldn't remember if that's even a thing here.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't think it really is. I mean, I don't know.
I don't remember that from any of the other books, so yeah. I didn't know. And then I also wondered, like, what it's like to have sex with a goat person.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has a tail. She does have a really good time.
Mm-hmm.
Despite Triss being a little bit sketchy sounding. So, good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her. So, I have a question. Because mm-hmm. this has come up. It has come up. That'll... Mm-hmm. Does the cum glue people's vaginas shut in this world, do you think? Because in the Morning Glory Milking Farm, mm-hmm. and in this book, they talk about having like a special solution that they have to use to dissolve Minotaur, ogre, and orc cum, or it stops up the plumbing and ruins your sheets. If it does that to pipes, what is this stuff doing to a vagina?
I had thought it was more just really, really thick. You know?
I mean, it's thick enough that I guess when it dries, it stops up your plumbing. So.
Yeah, but after you have sex, when you stand up, most of it's going to leave anyway.
I guess. But like. What if you don't stand up immediately?
Oh, I think your vagina might be glued shut then.
What if it got in your hair? Right. Oh, what if it got on your face? It would glue your eyelashes shut.
Oh, that's terrible.
So when you swallow it, like what happens to your internal organs? Does it constipate you? Like what happens?
We need more information.
I'm just very concerned because if it does this to pipes, and you have to use a special, I don't know. I just feel like there are risks. I wouldn't want it in my hair.
No.
It would be like, get the peanut butter out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, could you imagine having to go like buy peanut butter for that or something?
No, like, is this special solution? Is it like body safe? Can I put it on my, can I wash my hair with this? Like, what are we doing? It just seems like pretty messy. It seems pretty messy. Well, it's super sweet though. Kenta. So he and Ava have sex, and he is super sweet. And he, like, if they're gonna have sex, he has like a supply of towels ready for
Yes.
cleanup. I
Yes.
love the thoughtfulness. He's prepared. He's thinking this through. He doesn't want to ruin her sheets, so he's got some towels on hand when the moment comes. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Ava and Kenta's story was my favorite story in this book.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They were adorable. And I mean, Kenta being an overthinker was just so cute. The conversation that he has with his sister, because they both want to be more serious with each other. And neither one of them. So I think Ava's like, I'm not approaching that topic until he approaches it. And Kenta is over here just crippled by fear. So it's cute.
That is, yeah, they were precious. Their dynamic was really cute. I love when he does so that he and his sister have that conversation. And I think that there's a stereotype when you have an ogre or an orc or maybe even a mime, like you have a big in body size character or something that's traditionally considered like a quote monster, that there's this belief that they would be the dominant person in the relationship. They would be the one that kind of leads things. And that's not really Kenta's personality. It's more Ava who instigates things or handles the complexities or whatever in that situation. And so we see this struggle in him as this doom spiraler and overthinker. When Ava's really stressed out, she does it and she needs support. He doesn't know what to do because he starts overanalyzing the whole situation and freezes.
Yep. I felt bad for him. Meh.
Oh, bless him. He wanted so badly to do something. He just couldn't figure out what to do or what to say. His sister makes a really great comment when he's talking to her about it too, because he perceives Ava's getting ready to leave town to go spend time with her family, and that she's very stressed out about it. And he knows that, and he doesn't want her being stressed. He wants to be able to comfort her and support her, but he doesn't know what to do or say, and he doesn't want to say the wrong thing, so it just comes out as nothing. And so his sister Yuriko says relationships aren't about being 50-50. Sometimes it's 60-40, sometimes it's 80-20. Sometimes you need your partner to carry you, and you need to know that they will. About Ava, she says she runs a business, she takes care of her kids, she deals with family. She doesn't need to do all of the emotional heavy lifting with a partner. If you can't pick her up once in a while, she doesn't need you. And I loved that statement because she's so right. We just have a woman, Ava. I love her. She's confident and she takes care of her business and she knows who she is and she's very good at running her life. And Kenta is a bonus.
I highlighted that quote too about relationships not being 50-50.
Yeah.
I heard it once before. I don't remember where, but it's a really good way, I feel like, to think about your relationship, you know,
Yeah.
because I've, you know, everyone's always like, oh, you have to be equal in a relationship. But sometimes, yes, obviously certain things some do to be equal, but when it comes to stuff like this, sometimes people are just having a bad day and need the other person to carry the load, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you need support. And sometimes it's not just a bad day. Sometimes it's a bad week or a month or a bad year. Like, and then hopefully the partner is able to show up for you when you need that support down the road. And that's where they're struggling. Like, Ava runs all this stuff. She's got everything on lock. But sometimes she needs support too, and Kenta doesn't know how to show up for her. Or he knows, he just doesn't have the confidence to do it, maybe. I really appreciated the body positivity that we saw in the beginning of this story.
Yeah, with Ava, when she's, it's her and then a younger woman, right? Who, yeah, whose body is still all perky.
Yes. Yeah. She tries on lingerie at a shop, and Ava is like our curvy, probably a little bit younger than middle-aged, it sounds like, but not like, she's not in her 20s, which I feel like is where a lot of our female leads in fantasy in books in general really are. They're just folks in their 20s who haven't had children most of the time. And so we have Ava, curvy female lead, has had children, is a little self-conscious about how she looks in this outfit. And so she is trying it on and standing in front of the mirror. And we have this elf who is younger, and everything is still very perky. And to the elf, Ava says, so they're talking about how she looks in it. And to the elf, Ava says, "You sure this doesn't make my ass look big?" And the elf says, "Oh, it definitely makes your ass look big, but in the best way." It's just so encouraging. I love seeing interactions like that among female characters, but I also really love it when we don't have the stereotypical early 20s thin, super perky female main character.
Yeah,
I see that a lot.
There is that. Oh, well, it's K.F. Breen, but also I think there were other authors in the series too, the magical midlife magic, madness, I think. And they're all, it's all centered around, I think, women more closer to the 40, their 40s.
Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, even now, that's one of the only series or books that I could think of where the female main character is not just super young. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice when we have characters, even like late 20s. I would take a character in their late 20s. Give me someone who's 28. I get tired of reading books about 19-year-olds sometimes.
Yeah. They haven't been through enough life sometimes to.
Yeah. Or it's just, it's not, I don't even know if it's that. It's just, I don't find that age relatable to me all the time. And I do like to be able to relate to some extent to some of these characters or something. That's, and I think in part why I struggle sometimes with like YA novels too, when they're 16.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are a struggle.
It is a struggle sometimes. Ava mentioned struggling with finding the right title for Kenta as her boyfriend or partner in this book. And I found that supremely relatable, because she says, like, I don't want to call him a boyfriend. She doesn't like the word. She doesn't want to call him a paramour. It feels like she's in a tawdry romance novel. And I totally get that. I really dislike using the word boyfriend because it feels juvenile to me. And I have felt that way for, oh, like a long time. She says lover makes me want to throw up in my mouth, which I second, because I'd also agree with that statement. And then she doesn't want to use partner because it doesn't feel like they're there. And I agree with that. I don't know, partner feels like you should own real estate with the person, right?
Yes, or at least, or like live with them or something, you know.
Yeah. So she struggles with picking the right word, and I relate to that struggle. I use the word beau. She says she doesn't want to use the word beau because she, it sounds like she lives in a senior care facility. But I like the word beau. I use the word beau.
Yeah. I think it's also a Southern thing. I feel like beau, right?
Maybe. Yeah, beaus are probably a Southern. I don't know if, I don't, do you use the word beau in New Jersey?
No, I only heard it in books when I was, it was not a word that was used commonly. Except when I read books, and every book that I read where it used that, it was always set in the South. So that's why I relate that word to the South. And I know it's probably not.
Yeah.
You know, but I always relate it to the South whenever I see that
word. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it does sound like a Southern word. It might be. Probably is. Who knows? But that's the one that I use. I agree with all of her struggles with picking those words. I don't I don't know what the right word is.
Yeah. Significant other sounds so clunky, but like,
Yeah.
I tend to use that if I'm asking about somebody, like talking to somebody, and I don't know anything
Yeah.
about them in terms of like their relationship status or, you know, their sexuality or anything like that. You know, I'll keep it to like significant other.
Yeah. That's a good one too. I used to say the person I date, but that's too many words.
We need to come up with a new word, especially because this is getting more and more common, because, you know, it was like millennials, or fewer millennials are getting married, right?
Yeah.
Let's come up with a word. Kenta is accountant, right? He does taxes. And there's this one part where Ava mentions how there was one time where he talked about taxes for like 10 minutes. And I read that and I cringed because I just had my anniversary dinner and I talked about taxes for a little bit, accelerated taxation for a couple
Wow.
minutes before I stopped myself and realized, oh my God, this is probably the most boring thing to listen to. What am I doing?
You're old now, Vicky.
Well, it relates to my work.
Oh.
So I was talking about work and that's why it came up. And then I had to explain what it was, and I realized this is just so boring. There's no way
Yeah. I mean,
that
I think
anybody
that
is
a
doing.
lot of folks probably, you know, I could talk about my job for hours and hours and hours and hours, but, and I would, truthfully, I would. And then I realized that not everybody wants to talk about vaginas. I don't know. We like the things that we like. We're interested in the things that we're interested in. That could be interesting or boring to anybody. Have you, so your comment about the taxes reminded me of this TikTok that I saw as advocating for dating nerds.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
As
They're
long
very dedicated to learning about things.
as long as they're not like incel nerds, right? Like, so you've got, have you seen
Yeah.
Revenge of the Nerds, which is really sketch, right? I feel like there's
Yeah.
some like sexual assault in that one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But if you did like you know, a dungeon master nerd, you want to date a World of Warcraft, not a World of Warcraft, oh my gosh,
Warhammer.
Warhammer, like Warhammer or Dungeons and Dragons, that type of nerd, especially because they grow up and they'll play female characters too, and like a lot of the characters who are women are awesome and badass and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So get yourself a dungeon master.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, Daddy.
Yep.
Ava decides to come home from her family gathering early because Kenta dresses up as Santa Claus for a community event, and he's doom spiraling, and it's really funny. And so she shows up to the community center where he is dressed as Santa Claus, and she gets at the end of the line, and she sits on his lap. He wasn't expecting her. And she says something like, "Oh, Santa, is this a big fat candy cane in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?" Aha! I loved this scene.
Me too. It was so good. And then the yeah, in the closet, right? They go into
Yes.
Yep.
She makes a lot of jokes about getting her stocking stuffed
And candy canes.
and candy canes. Yeah.
It was great. A lot of the terminology in this made me laugh.
Yes. I loved the scene. So she provides Santa Claus with a blowjob in the broom closet at the community center. And it was so like funny, but also like super hot at the same time. It reminded me of Bad Santa. Did you ever watch Bad Santa?
A while ago, but yeah.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of Bad Santa. I mean, some folks just got a kink, you know? And then he shows up later at her house with a strategically placed Santa hat, and they have very hot, aggressive sex. And it was just good. There was some smut in this story. It wasn't smut heavy, I don't think, but I just love the intensity with which the male characters enjoy providing oral sex. They're so enthusiastic in this world. They really go for it.
They experiment too, it sounds like. So in, I guess it's the last scene with Ava and Kenta, right? Their scene. And he finds a like body safe peppermint to use and doesn't sound pleasant. Even in the book, it didn't sound super pleasant, but I really appreciated that she made sure to mention it was body safe, because even though she's like, it's described as white hot or something, so it sounds painful. It doesn't sound pleasant, but I mean, maybe it is. But I liked that the author wrote that it was body safe, because otherwise, I would have just been thinking infection. This sounds terrible. Like, get to the doctor right after sex,
Yeah.
basically.
I think anyone who's ever had a yeast infection probably appreciated that comment. Yeah. Sensory play can be really fun. Like using the mint or some, I mean, it, I'm sure it just produced like a really intense tingling sensation or like heat or ice or feathers or those sensory wheels. I don't know where you could find body safe peppermint, but I think the idea of some of that stuff sounds really fun, and I like that in keeping with the holiday theme, they worked in a candy cane. It's a nice little nod to the holidays.
We talked briefly about the puns, but she also had some funny, and also I didn't like it. Terminology that's used. So the one that I really didn't like, she used weeping slit at some point. I just no thank you. But then she also used, because this made me laugh, and you know, fat balls, fat claw, like there's a rec.
She says thick, meaty rod. That makes me think of jerky.
Oh, so yes, they're funny. But yeah, definitely.
I think she used some pretty funny terms for sex and for genitals in the Hollow book too. I remember laughing at that, so maybe that's just her thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I did enjoy that though. Lucas and Talia were two characters that I don't remember ever running into before. Lucas ends up being like the Christmas stag at their community event. And I didn't remember ever reading about his character in the past.
Yeah, I don't remember those characters.
And then I think the couple from Run Rabbit Run shows up in the story. Owen and Tabitha are part of the Hemming family. Owen is. I don't know that they've shown up. I don't remember them showing up either, but Owen's chapter, it's really short. He's one of those characters that just kind of bleeps in and we don't see him really again. But his chapter was pretty idyllic. I just love the way that it started out. He and his partner are quietly reading with a video of a fireplace crackling in the background. They have a simmer pot going and they're drinking tea that they made in a tea blending course. It's just very cozy. It sounds wonderful. I really enjoyed that chapter.
Yeah, it just sounds comfy, right?
Super cozy. Yes.
Yes, cozy, that's a good word.
Yes. Yeah, like this is the kind of scene that I want for the holidays. Quotes that you would like to share?
Sure, I have one I'd like to share. This. Oh, okay. One more for me, cookie girl. I know you have it in you. Give me a big gush of that honey. One of the worst sentences or quotes that it's multiple sentences that I've ever read. I wanted to wash my eyes. I hated every word in that. No, that's being dramatic. It was just Oh, the cookie girl and the honey and the word gush. It was not. I didn't want
Not
that.
sexy.
It was not sexy. The worst part is, I told my husband, right? And then he was like, oh, I'm going to say that to you later. And I was like, I'm going to call a divorce lawyer if you do that because
That's hilarious.
do not want that.
Oh, yeah. Tris says that to Charlie, and it's not. I mean,
Feel like we've read
we've
more
read
of this book.
better. I'm confident that we have read worse. Nothing will ever be as bad as that Chuck Tingle book that we read.
No, that's true.
There are like fountains of cum shooting out of someone's anus. That's nothing will ever be as bad as that. Well, I really enjoyed the quote that I picked out. So Owen says this at the beginning of his chapter, the idyllic one that we just talked about. He says, few things in the world were more enjoyable than sitting in a quiet room, indulging in a hobby that wasn't meant to be done with anyone else, with someone else sitting there doing the same thing. True facts. I love that.
Just existing in the same space with someone,
Yes, just
right?
taking up space with someone else, not having to do something like just, sitting and reading a book in someone else's presence or cross stitching, putting together a puzzle, not having to. Yes. Yeah. I just love the comfort that comes with that statement.
I like that too. It's a good one.
It is a good one. All righty. Well, that wraps up Holly Jolly Mess by C.M. Nascosta. This is our last episode for 2023. So we hope that you have a terrific end of your year, and we hope that you join us next time for Chasm by Stacey McEwen. Thank you for listening, and happy holidays. Thank you for listening to Literary Quest. We hope you enjoyed our episode. If you'd like to follow us on social media, we can be found at Literary Quest Podcast on Instagram or Facebook. You're also welcome to share your thoughts and ideas with us via email at literarycuestpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again.